Turn with us to Romans, the 5th chapter. We're going to read the 12th through the 19th verse. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now we want to speak to you this morning about salvation. And you hear a lot about salvation. We want to talk to you a little bit this morning about full salvation. Salvation in its fullness. You see here the drawing on the board. This is a picture of a person when they enter this world.
Yes.
This is the person as they enter this world. Now you notice that he has a hard heart, a heart of stone. And you notice that there's a seed in his heart. Well, the scriptures we've just read point out to us and help us to understand that Adam, when he sinned, he passed upon death to all men. He passed sin upon all men. And you may wonder, well, how is it that Adam, when he did this, how is it that he passed it on? Well, there's a sin, there's a seed of sin in the heart. A seed of sin in the heart. As each child comes into this world, did you ever wonder how these small little children that don't know how to talk yet, don't know how to understand, aren't able to be, you know, reasoned with, how they automatically start off in sin?
Yes.
There's a seed in the heart. Sin is in the heart. It's passed down upon generation upon generation upon generation. But the good news is that Christ came, died for our sins, that through one man we may have be born sinners, but through one man we all have a free gift, the gift of salvation, to cleanse us from our sins. Now, this is a wonderful God that made this plan. It's a wonderful thing to be able to get rid of something that you had nothing to do with. You didn't have any, you had no power over this. You were born with it. But something happens when we're born. Something begins to take place. We want to read Mark, the 7th chapter. Starting at the 20th verse, 20 through 23. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these these evil things come from within and defile the man.
Yes.
So what happens when we're born? I hope you can all hear me when I move away from the mic. What happens is this seed of sin begins to operate in our life.
Yes. Yes.
And Satan touches this seed of sin.
Yeah.
He can touch this seed anytime.
Yes.
He can enter this stony heart anytime. He has free access because of the seed of sin. Yeah. Now what happens in a child is, as they begin to grow, he begins to form in them. And things begin to issue out of his heart.
Yes.
Alright? And they go to the mind. They go to the mouth. And they go to our hands, our feet, whatever.
Yeah.
These here, they begin to develop us.
Yeah.
This is what we are.
Yes.
We're born with a personality. We might have a personality that is... we might have an outgoing personality. We might have a shy personality. And we might have many different kinds of personalities. But this comes from the seed of sin.
Yeah.
These are learned traits. Things you learn from where? The seed of sin.
Yeah.
They come from there. The seed of sin as it travels. And what is this?
Yeah.
It's the flesh.
Yeah.
The devil begins to teach our flesh. That seed of sin begins to radiate out of our heart and teach us. And those little children will throw temper tantrums.
Yeah.
They'll lie.
Yeah.
They'll cheat. They'll steal. They'll do all those things. And they don't have to see another person do it. They don't have to see anybody do it to do it themselves. Why? Because the seed of sin in the heart teaches them. The devil is able to work with that seed and teach them. And this becomes our flesh. This is us now. This is what we become. Now, some people have more of a problem with the mind. They have the enemy, his best attack is their mind. And as he builds their flesh and molds them and as children and molds their flesh, they become a person that plays mind games with themselves. Or they escape from their problems in their mind. Or they work out pictures and things in their mind to satisfy and occupy themselves. They have a mind. The devil is able to make much stronger fleshly cords to the mind than maybe anywhere else. And then you know there are those that have problems with the mouth.
Yes.
It's harder for them. The devil is able, from that seed of sin, to manifest their flesh in such a way that out of their mouth come things. They have a hard time being quiet. They have a hard time not saying anything that pops up. They have a hard time controlling their tongue. And all because of what? The seed of sin in the heart.
Yeah.
Now there are others that have a hard time with their hands. Maybe with their feet. The places they go. The things they do. There are those that are naturally violent. They learn it. They learn it from that seed of sin. All right. But as a child grows. As a child grows. There becomes a time in their life when they hit the age of accountability.
Yes.
They hit the age of accountability. When God begins to impute sin to them. Because this can be a little baby with all of this.
Yes.
This is a baby.
Yes.
A small child. But there comes a time in every child's life. Then what happens? Well, it comes out. And these are sins of the mind. These are sins. We speak. And these are sins we commit.
Yes.
This is a picture of sinful man. Unregenerated man. This is what he looks like. Now, sinful man has learned all these things from the seed of sin in his heart. Had he been born without the seed, he would not have learned these things. He'd have been in the state that Adam was in,
yes,
that Eve was in. But he has the seed of sin.
Oh, yes.
And it has built up through his life, and it has built and corrupted his flesh. And he has learned traits and attitudes and ways of thinking and ways of dealing with himself and ways of dealing with others. And it's completely molded him. It has completely molded him. Now, what happens when with God trying to deal with a sinful man like this? God trying to deal with a sinful man. We want to read in Romans, the 6th verse. The 6th chapter, the 14th verse. Chapter, the 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, we know that we live in the dispensation of grace. We live in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is present with us in this day and age. He wasn't there in the same way in the Old Testament, but now we have the Holy Ghost. Now, what happens in our present age when Satan can come into the heart, deal with this seed, and manifest sin in our lives? And the Holy Ghost, what happens when the Holy Ghost tries to deal with this unregenerated man? Well, he hits the hard heart, and he's repelled. Repelled. But he keeps trying.
Yeah.
But he's repelled. That hard heart keeps him repelled. All right? Would someone please give me the scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:20? And someone else give me the scripture, 1 John 3:9. Ecclesiastes 7:20 and 1 John 3:9. When you get Ecclesiastes, you can read it, please.
For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
All right. There's not a just man in the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And we see this picture of this sinful man. Now read 1 John 3:9.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Now
his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Yes.
Now we have, it looks like, in the Word of God, it looks like we have a contradiction.
Yes.
That's what it appears like. One says that there's not a man alive that isn't a sinner. And the other one says, would you read 1 John again?
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's all right. So one says you're a sinner and there's no such thing as not being a sinner. And the other says, if you're born of God, you do not commit sin.
Amen.
So our problem is how to get from one place to the other.
Yes, sir.
From one state to the other state. That's our problem. And that's what we call salvation.
Yes.
Salvation. Salvation will do it.
Yes.
But we have to have full salvation to reap the full benefits.
Yes.
Full salvation. Now we want to turn to Ezekiel 36. Starting at the 21st verse through the 27th. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It says down here in the 24th verse, that I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah.
Now, you know, he's talking to Israel, how they had profaned his name. He had done great and mighty things for Israel, and they kept turning their backs on him, going back to idol worship. And you know why they did that? The seed of sin. The seed of sin caused them to do that. Over and over and over again. The seed of sin. Alright, but God wants to send salvation our way. Now you know what it feels like, most of you in here, what it feels like to be touched by God and convicted of your sins. And I remember when I was first touched by the Lord and got saved. I remember it. And I remember how that I went to a sister's house to be prayed for. I had some problems. I had some problems in my marriage. And I had done something terrible. And afterwards I felt so bad about it. And I thought, Lord, this isn't the right thing to do. And I began to, I'll tell you what it was. The Lord was dealing with my heart. And we had some relatives that knew the saints and had been telling us about God. And every so often we would go to them and we'd tell them our problems. And those relatives would point us to God. And it would encourage us. Somehow that would get a hold of us, encourage us a little bit. And we would go home and we would do better. We'd have a better outlook. But nothing changed. And it would happen ever so often. Well, finally, this one day, and my husband and I were having problems. He doesn't mind me telling these stories. And we were having these problems, and he had done something I didn't like. And I took and packed up all of his clothes and threw them out. Now, that's what I had done. And then I went over to my relatives, so to speak, to boast about what I had finally done. And they were saved. And they listened to me and they didn't smile and they didn't know what to say and they were kind of quiet and I began to feel a little uncomfortable. And because they weren't saying, you know, good for you and that's what you should have done and everything like the world would tell you.
Yes.
And so they were telling me, you know, and they just were kind of quiet and everything and I began to feel worse. I began to feel worse and finally I started to cry, you know, and then they started talking with me and I said, I don't really want to throw him out. I don't know why I did that. See, the seed of sin.
Yes.
the seed of sin. It was motivating me and operating in me and causing me to do things I didn't want to do. Cause you to do things you don't want to do. And so they began to talk to me and everything, and I began to cry, and I was feeling worse and worse. And you know, I couldn't just go home and pick them all up and put them back in the house because my husband already picked them up and he'd gone. So he was gone, and I didn't know if he'd come back. And I was just in a fix. And my sister-in-law told me, she says, "Well, why don't we go get prayer?" You know. And Brother and Sister Husky were there in the congregation in Orland at that time. And so I said, "All right." I was feeling really bad. But I didn't know anything. I wasn't planning on getting saved. I just wanted prayer to fix it.
Yeah.
You know how you are? You don't want to be saved. You just want prayer to fix it.
Yeah.
That's how people are. That's how saints' children are.
Yes.
That's how people that know the saints are.
Yes.
They don't want salvation. They just want prayer to fix it.
Yes.
They want God to fix all the problems in their life, and they're not going to do a thing for Him.
Yes.
So anyway, we went down there. And we went in, and my sister-in-law told Sister Husky, you know, what the problem was. And she was so sweet, and she says, "Honey, do you want to pray?" And I said, "Of course, yes. You know, I wanted to pray. But I wanted to pray for him to fix it. I wasn't praying for salvation." But I'm going to tell you, when I got down there to pray, I began to cry. And I began to feel all manner of things. And as I prayed, I asked to be saved. I didn't know much about salvation. But that's what I asked. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you pray when you don't even know how. He'll help you if you have a tender heart. Now, that's something that's the Holy Spirit's business. Ever so often, this is what happens in our life. Those sinners in their lives, this is what happens. Every so often, the Holy Spirit brings about circumstances and things that touch you, and it softens part of your heart. Softens it. And then you know what He does? He gets in there. He gets in there and He deals with you. Because He's able to soften it. See, He had softened my heart. Before I ever went down there, He had softened it. And then when I got down on my knees to pray for the situation, He entered in and He prayed for my soul. I prayed for my soul, and I had no intention of praying for my soul. I saw the way the saints lived, and I just didn't know if I wanted to live like them. And so but you know, the Lord came in, and He did that. Softened my heart. And entered in and pricked my soul, and I prayed for salvation. She prayed for me. I prayed for myself. She prayed for me. And then we got up and we hugged and we got in the car. And we were on our way home. And I couldn't believe it. It was almost like it happened and I didn't know. And I got in the car and I thought, what have I done? What's happened? What's going to happen now? You know, and I was really... on the way home, and of course my sister-in-law, she was just rejoicing. She was so happy, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to meet when I got home. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And I didn't know what would happen. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I got home, my husband still wasn't there. But I went in, and you know, the Lord gave me a hunger and a thirst to read the Bible. And I got out the Bible and I began to read, and you know, it was a brand new experience. I had never read really the Bible. I had always had in my mind, you know how the devil is so cruel, brings things to your mind, but I had always had in my mind that there's so many different versions of the Bible, you know, none of them are quite right. See, I heard these things as I was growing up. Different religious people or different people that were avoiding God say these little things, and it attaches itself to a child. And I heard those things. I heard that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wrote about the same events, but they wrote it different. They couldn't even get it straight. And I had all these ideas in my mind when I started reading the Bible. And the Lord began to take that Bible, and He would just open it up to me. It was wonderful. Wonderful what He did. All right, but I want to tell you what happened with my husband. The Lord knew what I needed. You know, some people get saved and the Lord just comes in and just erases their present problem and lifts them out of that, and they go rejoicing and they're just all in heavenly places and all, and He gives them a space of time before they hit a real hard trial. But God knew me. He knew me. He knew that I was the type, when things are easy, I get easy. When things are hard, then I buckle down.
Yes.
See, God knows us.
Yes.
And so what He did, He let that trial start that day. And my husband didn't come back. And he went and he moved in with his mother. Now, this is the funny thing. You know, young people, they're so precious. But you know, when you have these fights and scraps, a lot of times you're playing games with each other.
Yes.
You don't really mean to throw him out, and he doesn't really mean to stay away. But somebody's got to give up first.
Yes.
See, like the sister said this morning, somebody's got to lay down. Let the other one walk over. And and I would pray and I would cry at home and pray and cry. And the Lord knew, He knew what I needed. He knew what I needed. He knew He needed to cement some real important things in me before He let it smooth out. So it was about, I'd say probably 2 weeks that my husband stayed with his mother. And the worst part about it is we lived at his mother's place. We had a trailer on the same property, and he just lived across the driveway from me. And what would happen is, you know, I'd see him going off to work, and I'd cry. And I'd see him coming home from work, and he wouldn't speak to me. He'd lock the doors. He wouldn't let me in the house. I couldn't go in and talk to him. He was ornery and stubborn, too. He had the seed of sin.
Yes.
And his mother said she was staying out of it, you know. So she wouldn't help me. And so anyway, one night, I'll tell you what I did. One night late, I was feeling so bad, and I wanted to come home so bad. And I felt like, Lord, if you just give me another chance, I won't treat him like that again. I just won't do that. So I went over to the house, and I tried all the doors. I knew he was in there. His mother was gone. I tried all the doors, and they were all locked. So I went around trying the windows. And I finally found a window that was open, and I crawled through the window. And I went in, and I got down on my knees in front of my husband, told him how sorry I was. He just ignored me. I told him how sorry I was, and that I had gotten saved, and you know, I was trying to live for God now, and if he'd come home, you know, I wouldn't treat him like that anymore. I just poured out my heart, and he just was so stubborn. He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't acknowledge me. Nothing. And so, finally, I got up, and I went home. But I wasn't. The next morning, I think, he brought all of his things back home. And he put them all in the house. And I even went and put them away. You know, I didn't make him put them away. We went and put them away, everything. And we started out from there. But see, the seed of sin will make you do things you don't want to do. He didn't want to be away from me, and I didn't want him to go. But I threw him out. Now see, the seed of sin, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Well, I was saved. Now, I'll show you what happens when you get saved. God puts in, like it says in the scripture, a heart of flesh.
Yes.
And you know what else He does? He removes all of our committed sins. These are what we're responsible for. That's safe. Still not a very pretty picture, is it? Still has something wrong. Now, the seed of sin now abides in this heart of flesh. So what happens now? Well, now, the devil can still deal with the seed of sin, but the Holy Spirit can also deal.
Yes.
They can both get in there. They can both deal. You have this soft heart. And you've been forgiven of all of your sins that you committed. You're clean.
Yes.
But you still have that seed of sin.
That's so.
Now this day here, we call this justification.
Yes.
We're justified before God because we have asked His forgiveness for all our committed sins. And He's wiped them out, put them under His blood, and we are now justified before God. Justified. If we are to die in this state, we'd go to heaven.
Yes.
We're justified. But, as we have in the in one of our songs, there's a foe in the temple, not subject to God.
Yes, no.
That seed of sin is not subject to God.
That's true.
Is not subject to God.
Amen.
Now, I want to ask you all a question. I've got this seed of sin in my heart. I've got all these learned traits that have become my flesh, my attitudes, my what I am, what I really am. My attitudes, my dispositions, the way I think, the way I act under pressure is all of these. How long do you think you can live like this before something comes out? How long do you think you can live? Well, some people might live several weeks. Some people might live several months. Some people could maybe live several years. Not likely, but could. But what happens is Satan comes down here and he touches this seed and it begins to vibrate up one of these learned traits that you've had. You run into a situation and the way you reacted all the time in that situation before, and pretty soon you don't even know what's going to happen and it's out.
Yes,
comes
yes.
out your mouth.
Yes.
Lodges in your mind.
Yes.
Or you do something.
Yes.
And you're saved. I want you to understand. You're saved, and all of a sudden this happens.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, a saved person immediately recognizes they're wrong. They feel so bad about it. And what do? They get down on their knees before God, and they say, "Oh, God, forgive me.
Yes.
Forgive me. I didn't mean for that to come out. I don't know where that came from." You ever said that? "I don't know where that came from." It came from here.
Yes.
Right from there. So you ask God to forgive you. You're justified.
Yes.
Now I want you to know, you ever heard of the doctrine of sin you must and sin you can't help it?
Yes.
This is where it came from. This is where it came from. People got saved, got really saved. But what happened was, they still had seed
yes.
of sin. And before too long, whether it's days, weeks, months, whatever, something comes out and they're convinced you can't live above sin. You can't live above those kind of things. That, they're convinced. They had no other hope. And through the ages when the doctrine of full salvation was lost and not understood and they began to come back, first they had salvation. First they had justification. But they didn't understand there was another step they could take.
Amen.
Full salvation. And they lived underneath that bondage. Because this is a bondage state, dear ones, still.
Yes, it is.
This is still bondage.
Amen.
Because you don't want to do things wrong, and yet the seed of sin lives in you.
Yes.
He lives in you. And ever so often... Not too often. I'm not talking now. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that you just go back out and you just start doing things right away and you're still saved. Oh, no. I'm talking about you're living a careful, saved life. And you're being careful every day. And you're not letting those things come out. But all of a sudden, something vibrates in one of these. And the devil touches it in such a way that something comes out before you realize it.
Yes.
People get discouraged. They get discouraged. young people that get saved or older people that get saved, they get discouraged. They think, well, look, I'm still doing the same thing. And they ask forgiveness and they go along for a while, and maybe they go along a much longer period of time this time, but eventually something else comes out. Because the seed of sin is in the heart. There's nothing else that you can do. There's not anything in this state that you can do to keep that seed from reacting. It's there. But we have full salvation. Full salvation. We have not only justification, but we have what we call sanctification.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, what does sanctification do for us? Let's turn to Acts. Acts 8 and... No, 1. I'm sorry. Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Power. Sanctification gives you power. Well, what is sanctification? It has everything to do with the Holy Ghost dispensation in the Holy Ghost. See, sanctification is when the Holy Spirit moves from out here and He moves into your heart. So now, He takes up His abode in here. And in order to take up His abode, the seed of sin goes.
Yes.
It's gone. This is sanctification.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit living in your heart and taking out the seed of sin.
Yes.
Now, what happens when Satan deals? He comes up against here. The Holy Spirit's here to defend it. And he can't get in.
Amen.
He can't get in. All right. Sanctification. Oh, when I got saved, I didn't know much about anything to do with salvation or sanctification. And I lived along. And I had my times when little things would come out and I'd have to repent.
Yes.
But I kept myself clean. I repented. I kept myself clean. And I came up to a time when Brother Husky, it was, several months, I suppose, and Brother Husky preached a message on sanctification, laid it all out. And I knew that's what I needed.
Yes.
I needed that. But I didn't understand it too well. But I knew I needed it. And he said, you have to be willing to give up everything.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, I was saved. My husband wasn't saved. And he was still having marital problems. I wasn't. But he was still having marital problems. Because the seed of sin, see, made him disagreeable and made him miserable and everything. And the Lord was keeping me clean. And I was doing right. But he couldn't do right. So he was still having marital problems. And he had even at one point said, you know, maybe we should just get divorced. And oh, that hurt me so bad. And I thought, Lord, you know, what will I do? What will I do? And when Brother Husky preached that message that day, he said, you have to be willing to give up everything and go all the way with God. And I sat there and I thought, what wouldn't I give up? And then I thought of my husband. And I thought, you know, if I stay saved, he might leave me. Now, he'll probably leave me anyway if I'm unsaved. But he might leave me if I stay saved. He might go on out and, you know, can you give him up? Can you do that? in order to be sanctified, in order to give everything. Can you, you know, that was the only thing that I could think of that maybe I wasn't willing to give up. And the Lord dealt with me that day, and I'm going to tell you, I went to the altar, and I told the Lord at the altar, I said, Lord, if He's going to drag me back into sin, then You can take Him from me. If that's what He's going to do, I'm willing to live with Him and put up with whatever, but if He's going to drag me back into sin because I'm holding on, and I'm going to end up being drugged back with Him, then Lord, I take my hands off. You do with Him whatever You can do, and You do the best thing for me. And I gave Him up. And the Lord sanctified me. Now, you heard these stories. You probably heard stories about when people get sanctified, and oh, they run and they shout, and they have this wonderful experience. I didn't have that. I didn't have it. It is not a witness that you got it. Because when I got up from the altar, I was grieving. Because I had given up the thing on this earth that was the dearest to me. I was literally grieving. And I didn't know what the Lord would do. I didn't know if He would leave him there to stay or if He would take him out of my life. Oh, the devil came against me and said, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You know. You know, you didn't get it. You've heard these stories.
Yes.
And you didn't get it. And I kept saying, well, no, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe I got it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the Lord give it to me? I was clean. I gave up everything I knew to give up. Why wouldn't He give it to me? So, I went along like that for several days. The Lord won't leave you very long before He gives you a witness that you got it. And I'm going to relate this experience. Some people have already heard it. But the Lord was real gracious and real special to me in dealing with me and helping me to understand things because I was so, so ignorant of spiritual things. And what happened was is that I, before I had gotten sanctified and I was just saved, my husband was a real particular about the house. And I had grown up not being so particular. You know how that goes. You're going to marry opposites, and you're going to have those things to all work out, and work out the best way in your home. It can't be all your way, and it can't be all his way. But I was willing to give in and go his way, and he was going to have it all his way. Because he had the seed of sin. He wasn't willing to work with me. So anyway, he demanded... that I do so and so and so and so. So I had gotten in one day and I had gone through that house and I had cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And I felt so good at the end of the day because I thought, oh, when he comes in, he's going to be pleased too. And he came through the door and there was one thing I had forgotten. I had forgotten to scour out the tub. I had forgotten. Now, I didn't mean to, but I did. And he went in there. He didn't say one word about any of my efforts, anything I had done. He went in there. He took one look at the tub. And he said, why haven't you done this? And, oh, I felt so upset. I was upset. And I thought, here he is. He hasn't even noticed everything else I've done. You know. And he said, and so I said, well, you know, I did all these other things. Why are you looking just at that? And he said, well, you know, this is filthy. This is, you know how they do. And so he says, so anyway, he says, clean this tub. And he goes storming out of the house. He was all upset by then. And I thought, oh, Lord. I went in there and I was so upset. I was upset. Now I knew better. I knew better than to say a word. And I knew better than to chase him down and argue it out with him. I mean, you know better.
Yeah.
You're living saved. You're not sanctified yet. That seed of sin, the devil was hitting that seed of sin and it was vibrating through my flesh. And I was having to hold for all I was worth to keep from coming out with something. But I'm going to tell you, I got in that bathroom and it finally came out. I got the scouring powder, and I threw scouring powder from one end of that bathroom to the other, It was nothing but like a haze of blue smoke in that bathroom. It was everywhere. I mean, I didn't even scour the bathtub. I had the walls, the sink, the floor was covered. You know, all I did was make more work for myself. But that's, see, the seed of sin reacting to an injustice you feel like you've had. And I cried, and these evil thoughts kept coming in my mind about my husband, and I'd have to keep, you know, you give in one place. Here I'm throwing scouring powder, but I know better than to think those things. You can't think those things, and so you're fighting those out of your head, and you're doing all these things. See, isn't that a horrible state to live in?
Yeah.
Saved, but having to fight so hard to keep these things. So, anyway, I got it all cleaned up. I made quite a mess, and then I had to clean it all up. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Lord did for me. After I was sanctified, this same exact trial came my way. I had cleaned all day, and I forgot the tub again. The exact same trial. He came in, saw the tub. I think he said the exact same words before he went out. Clean up this mess, or clean this tub, or whatever he said. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, I was sanctified. The Holy Spirit had come in, and he had taken out that seed of sin.
Yes.
And he was reigning in my heart. And do you know, I went in there, and I felt so good. I felt so happy. There was nothing rising up in me. I didn't throw scouring powder. I just swished out that tub with a little bit of scouring powder, and I went on my way. And as I was walking out of that bathroom, the Lord spoke to me. Here's your witness.
Yes.
Here's your witness.
Yes.
See, I've been kind of feeling sad. Ever since I've been sanctified, I've been feeling sad. Everybody doesn't feel joyful. And I've been feeling kind of sad, and I was heavy under my trials and burdens. And, when I realized, there's a difference. There's a wonderful difference. The Holy Spirit living in my heart, taking out the seed of sin. Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't know, I didn't understand all about the seed of sin, and I didn't know, you know what I mean. I didn't really understand it, but God did it anyway. And he had cleaned me and cleansed that out. He was living inside of me, and it was wonderful. Wonderful. Now, I wish I could tell you that you'll never have any more problems. But I can't. Because the Holy Spirit, when he comes in and cleans the heart, does not clean these. This is the flesh. This is your flesh. What you're made of. How you react. What you are. What you do under pressure. But I'm going to tell you this. The flesh will be with you till the day you die. It will always be with you. But what happens is, as the Holy Spirit deals in your life, he begins to erase certain traits, learned traits. He starts taking and teaching and guiding, leading you, and he begins to erase those ways that the enemy can still touch every so often. See, we're saved, we're sanctified, but every so often the devil reaches in and he touches one of these. And it vibrates in our flesh and we realize, oh, my flesh. We call it, oh, the flesh. The flesh. And we've got to die to our flesh. And you hear all these comments, dying to my flesh. I'm learning how to die to myself. I'm learning how to, what are some of the other phrases? Die to myself, die to the flesh, crucify my flesh, mortify the members of my body.
Yes.
We hear all these phrases. That's what this is. That's what this does now. The rest of your life, you will be cleansing the flesh through the Holy Spirit. Things will come up in your life and you'll realize, oh, that's my flesh. That's something I learned. I learned that in childhood. I learned that from that seed of sin that was in my heart. I learned to react a certain way. I learned, oh, what kind of things can you learn? Oh, things like when somebody makes me upset, I get quiet.
Yes.
See, we're not supposed to say anything. We're not supposed to react. So if husband does something or wife does something we don't like, what do? We say, you know, I just won't talk to him. Now, you learned that.
Yeah.
That's one of these.
Yes.
It's. I want you to know, it's not in your heart. It is in your flesh. And the flesh can be cleansed through the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart. So when you realize the Lord gets a hold of you and He begins to tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't just get quiet on somebody when they upset you. You shouldn't do that. Then you get down on your knees and what do? You say, oh, Lord, you see this thing in me? You see I can't seem to stop this. It's some trait I've learned. I've learned to do this and be this way. Lord, please clean me up.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. Clean this thing out of my life. You know, clean me up. Get me ready for heaven.
Yes.
And what does the Lord do? He begins to straighten out the flesh.
Yes.
He begins. And as you get closer, as the longer you live for the Lord, the more of those places He cleans up.
Yes.
So that then the enemy has less to deal with.
So,
and that's why you see people that have lived and saved a long time, you look at them and say, oh, they're so holy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are. Because the Holy Spirit is cleansing the flesh.
Yes.
Their flesh. You're not seeing their flesh anymore. You're seeing more and more of the Holy Spirit manifested in their life and less of the flesh.
Yes.
And that's what we call living a holy life.
Amen.
Now, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
This is full salvation. The whole thing. Now, you may say, well, how long do I have to wait after I get justified before I get sanctified? Is there a waiting period? Do you have to wait until you understand everything? Do you have to wait until, you know, that you're sure that all of these things are right and you have to be so? No. No. You don't have to wait. You have to live clean. That you have to do. You have to keep your life, your saved life, clean.
Yes.
And you do have to be willing to give up
everything
for the Lord.
Yes.
But He only requires you to give up everything you know right now. Don't worry about, well, some people might say, well, what about if 20 years from now so-and-so happens? Well, I just don't think I could give that up. Well, that's 20 years from now. You're going to have the Holy Spirit in your life for how many years before that happens? 20? And He's going to have cleaned up the flesh to this point, and then you think you're not going to be able to handle it? Sure you will. You'll be able to handle it. The Lord is good. So, whatever your problems are today, whatever your trials are today, those are what you give up. Those are the things you lay on the altar today. Your situations, your problems, the things that if you run with a rowdy crowd, you give them up.
Yes.
You have to. They'll corrupt you.
Yes.
If you have gotten yourself entangled in situations of life, and you know that this is not good, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be working at this job, or I shouldn't be doing this. See, we all know some things that we shouldn't be maybe involved in. Those are the things that you lay on the altar. Those things that you know. That's what you lay on the altar. He doesn't expect you to lay down things that you don't even know about yet. He'll teach you about yourself and all the things you don't know, and you'll be laying those down on a regular basis. As you learn those things about yourself, you'll be laying them down and asking the Lord to clean this too. Clean this up too. But right now, you're allowing the Lord to have full reign in your life. Lord, whatever. If you want me to give up my job, if you want me to give more money to the church, if you want me, I mean, you just give up everything.
Yes.
Give up everything. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's what you do. All right? Well, how long? Well, we have an example in the Bible of Saul getting saved on the road and when the Lord shone the light down and he got saved.
Yeah.
And then the Lord directed, somebody get that for me, Acts 9th chapter of Acts. And it says, when he was on his journey, the 3rd verse, 9:3, suddenly there shined a light around him from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. All right. He rose from the earth. His eyes were opened. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard that many things about this man, how much evil he hath done by thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Anyway, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, somewhere between the time when Saul was struck down on the road and Ananias showed up, Saul was saved.
Yes.
He was saved.
Yes.
He had been praying.
Yes.
He had seen a vision that a man was going to come and pray for him that he might receive his sight. The Lord was dealing with him. Saved.
Yeah, exactly.
There was only 3 days. 3 days before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. See, you don't have to wait a long time. It's better if you don't. It's better if you don't. You come for full salvation. Let the Lord complete in you what He has started. If He was good enough and kind enough to save you from your committed sins, He will also be good enough and kind enough to erase the seed of sin that isn't even your fault.
Yes.
See, this isn't even your fault. He'll take it away. It isn't your fault you have it. It's Adam's fault.
Yes.
He brought sin on the earth. But Jesus came that He could cleanse us from the seed of sin and give us full salvation. And He can do that for you today.